Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It's a whole two decades since my next guest arrived on the literary scene to great fanfare with her debut novel, The Baby Trail. And since then, she has sold nearly 1 million books in Ireland and in the UK. And tomorrow, her latest novel, Good Sisters, will be published. Sinead Moriarty, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Lovely to have you with us. I spent the weekend just gone with Good Sisters.
Right.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. And the Devlin sisters are back for a third outing. Are they like your friends or your family now?
They kind of are. And, you know, this is a standalone book, but if you have read the other two, you know, you'll recognise the sisters. But I think the last one I wrote was about 10 years ago. And I just felt, Claire, like last year, the world's just the news. It's so like anxiety inducing with, you know, the war in the Ukraine, the horrors in Gaza, Trump on the rise and the right wing movement. And I just thought, you know what? I want to write something that's just going to engage and entertain people. I just think people this summer, with the beautiful weather we're having, can curl up with a hot water bottle and just disappear into the book and be engaged and entertained and just get a break.
Yeah.
You know?
Even though there are really serious themes in here and very relevant themes, which we'll touch on. But they begin with the Devlin sisters' mothers. There's very sudden death, really, and how they deal with that. And it's just so fascinating. So true to life, they all deal with it differently and they all have to find ways of respecting each other's grief.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fact of life that everybody deals with grief differently. And I think sudden death, you have to add shock to that. So everybody deals with grief differently and everybody deals with shock differently. When you have a combination of both, it can be quite interesting. Mm-hmm. The three sisters have very different personalities and have very different ways of coping with it. But ultimately, when the chips are down, and as the book goes on, lots of different things happen in their lives. When the chips are down, ultimately it's your family that come together and, you know, have your back. And I think that's really one of the themes around it, is like they are very different and they drive each other nuts, but ultimately they have each other's back. And that's really what family is.
Yeah. I mean, they all come together when the women in the golf club go for dad.
Yeah.
Decide that he's catch of the day.
A single man in a golf club is like the Hope Diamond. Because women generally outlive men. So I saw this actually in action when my friend's mother died and her dad was getting more lasagnas and baked goods outside his door.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
But George welcomes the attention, doesn't he?
Well, he's lonely. He's devastated. And like a lot of men, he doesn't really know what to do with himself, because his wife was the organiser. And obviously, particularly since he's retired, and this happens with a lot of men, they have all this time and they don't really know what to do with it. So she was the organiser, the let's do this, let's do that. And he's just sitting at home in the dark, just kind of going, what now? Mm-hmm. So he's very open to any kind of, you know, company and engagement.
And this is taking me now into another theme of the book, which is that sandwich generation, where they're dealing with children who are teenagers or have their own problems at whatever stage of their childhood, but they're also trying to look after the parent who might be going through grief and deal with work and relationships and so on. And all of the sisters and the brother actually are going through that, aren't they?
Yeah, they do. And all of the sisters, well, Julie doesn't work, but the other two work. But Julie has, you know, very...
Oh, she has it worse. She's the rugby club. Oh.
Julie has triplet boys who are joint, whatever the collective noun is, for captains of the rugby team. And she is in charge of the WhatsApp, which is 60 parents. And that's 60 opinions on a regular basis. So I knocked a good bit of crack out of that now, I have to say, because WhatsApp groups can be absolutely nuts. Generally, people are lovely, but you always get the odd nutter. So there's a good bit of crack in that. But again, you know, as you say, they are all really, really busy and they have teenagers. And one another theme of the book is, you know, teenagers getting into trouble and how nowadays, like in my day, your shame didn't follow you around. You could just deny it happened. But now it's videoed, photographed and posted. So your shame follows you around. And in the book, Jess gets drunk. She's 15. She makes a silly mistake. And unfortunately, it has very, you know, severe consequences. And again, the sisters come together to manage that. And, you know, kind of they have her back. Again, it's about family coming together when the chips are down.
And I think that's a scenario that a lot of people can relate to. You know, I was reading it, my blood was running cold, because you think, is this the future?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I've got three teenagers and their life is on the phone, like their life is online. And so it is something that, you know, modern parents have to deal with, and we have to try and, you know, I suppose advise them in the best way possible. But what child ever listens to their parents? Mm-hmm. So it's just that thing where if something happens, it tends to be videoed or photographed, and that's an issue. But I think also I just had good fun with that as well, because Louise is the eldest and she's a lawyer, and she just, you know, they see her in her lawyer role and she's such a kind of badass, and they really admire her. Because sometimes with your siblings, you can't really see them in work. You can't imagine them in work. And then you just see them taking on this role that they have, and they're kind of a different person. And mm-hmm. It can be pretty impressive.
Right from the start of the book, she's very dominant, you know, yes. in how she's organising them all around the funeral, and everybody has their role, and she's got spreadsheets and folders. Mm. She's the very annoying sister who they accept is very annoying, and they just say, she's just doing her thing. But then when she's needed in that situation with Jess,
yeah.
they think, aha, now here's where yes. Louise comes into her own.
Well, it's also like everybody has a place in the family. Louise is the eldest, Julie's middle, Sophie's youngest. And I think in all families, you have your role. And no matter what you've done in your life, no matter what age you are, when you go back, you regress to the role that you have. Mm-hmm. And Louise has always been the eldest. She's also very bright. But she, in fact, is the most broken about losing her mother. Because as a single parent, her mother was a second parent to Clara, who has special needs. So Louise actually is really, really brokenhearted. But just her way of managing is to go into organisational overdrive, because if she has control of something, it helps her. She mm-hmm. thinks it's helping her, but actually the grief is in there. It needs to come out.
So how do you feel now about the Devlin sisters? Are you done with them? Will you take a break, maybe go back to them?
Well, it's funny. I thought I was done. And then I just felt, you know, as I said, I just felt the world was so dark. I wanted to write something engaging and entertaining. And I want people to sit back this summer, read Good Sisters, and just get a break and escape into the world of the sisters. And as you say, there's lots of themes people can relate to. I hope it's very moving. I think there's a good bit of crack in it as well. So I wanted to write something, and I had such fun writing it. So I'm never going to say never. But I think this story, certainly this book, this story is wrapped up.
Mm-hmm. So when you came into the studio just now, I mentioned to you that I have a 9-year-old at home who, when she heard you were coming in, couldn't speak with excitement because she's a huge fan of your children's writing, which is a relatively new departure for you. Has that opened up a whole new world?
Oh God, I mean, the kids are just so brilliant. So my fourth children's book is coming out in September. It's about divorce, because when I was going around schools, I say to the kids, what's on your mind? And climate change came up. So I wrote Finding Hope. And then a couple of kids said a divorce. So I wrote Fixing Mum and Dad, which is a book that's coming out. It's just so joyful, Claire. Like, kids in primary school, they haven't become cynical yet. They're still very open and sweet. And I just feel so hopeful for the future when I go to schools and they have to see their little faces, and they're just brilliant.
But it must be very different writing style for you.
It is and it isn't. I've always written, I've always had young characters in my books. I've always written children. I love writing children. So yes, it's different, and you have to be careful with your language and that. But I've always written children. And again, like in The Good Sisters, there's loads of kids in the book. I love writing young characters. I suppose it's because I have three kids, but I love writing young characters. I feel they really jump off the page.
Mm-hmm. Well, the danger is, of course, that my daughter wanted to read this one. Maybe not yet. Because she saw your name on the cover and she thought, oh, that's my favourite author. I'm definitely going to edit.
A few saucy bits.
Yeah, not quite. Not just yet. So that's coming out then in September. And
the children's book September, I mean, Sisters Today.
Yeah, but that addressing very adult themes for children, isn't it?
Yes,
how to deal
know,
with divorce.
Like, children are well able to read about strong, important themes. They're constantly bombarded by what's going on in the world, even if we try to protect them from it. And it's how you deliver it. Mm-hmm. So if you deliver the story in an engaging way, in a, you know, sort of non-threatening way, and make a lovely story around it and get them to fall in love with the main character. Just like adult books, I've always written about very important themes, but I've tried to write them in an engaging way so that people can sit back and just disappear into the books and hopefully have a good time.
Yeah, and we haven't touched on another really interesting character in this book, and that's Pippa. And I have to be careful now because I read it and I don't want to give too much away about Pippa. But she was in a relationship with one of the sisters when they'd broken up.
They'd broken up.
One of the sisters' husbands.
Sophie, yeah.
And she's had a child with Sophie's husband. It's a little bit complicated.
Yeah.
She has a lot of problems, Pippa. And this child, Robert, ends up spending a lot more time with Sophie and her husband than they expected.
Mm. That's another thing. I think, you know, again, families are very different now. There's a lot of integrated families. And in their case, I wanted to look at what happens when somebody has a child and is not necessarily particularly maternal. And also when Jack and Sophie get back together, Sophie becomes a stepmother. It's part of the package when she agrees to get back with him. But it's very difficult to deal with somebody who refuses to keep to the custody agreement that she fought very hard for. And that's caused a lot of problems in Sophie's marriage because she didn't take on full-time mothering of Robert. She took time, part-time mothering of Robert. And again, it's something that happens all the time. You know, custody agreements and bitterness and people behaving badly. And for the person who isn't the actual parent, who's a step parent, it's very difficult. It's a very difficult role.
I did like how she was very honest about that, you know,
yeah.
where she does accept Robert and she's very fond of him. But, you know, this was the agreement and we're not sticking to the agreement.
50-50.
Was it difficult to write that?
I want everyone to like my characters. And Sophie is a very likable person, but she's also a real person. And she is happy to be stepmother, but not 90% of the time, 50% of the time. And I think that's very real. I think it's very honest.
Yeah.
You know?
She has Jess as well.
And she has Jess who gets into trouble. And she works full time. She's got a lot going on.
Jess is not a likable person.
Jess is a 15-year-old girl.
She's awful now.
15-year-old girls can be tricky.
She's so horrible to her mother, though, certainly in the early stages of the book.
Well, just brace yourself, Claire, when your 9-year-old becomes 15.
I can't wait. Sinead, it's a great read and I highly recommend it. Anyone who is heading off on holidays or even just over the weekend, take some time for yourself with Good Sisters. It's Sinead Moriarty's number one bestseller to be, no doubt, when it hits the shelves. Thank you so much for coming in.
So much.
Lovely to see you, and we look forward to the children's book, which is coming in September. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.